From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Welcome to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. We count it a privilege to have you listening in today. In a moment, we'll hear from Dr. Alan Cairns, the Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Continuing his studies in the life of Christ, Dr. Cairns begins a message entitled, The Weeping Christ. In the Gospel record, we find several examples of the Lord Jesus weeping, such as at the grave of Lazarus, in the Garden of Gethsemane, and before Jerusalem, as he considered the city's rejection of him. As we'll see, those tears are a proof of the Savior's true humanity. Before coming to the message, Dr. Cairns addresses today's hot topic, banned from the church.
The Wall Street Journal recently ran a long article on the subject of church discipline. Titled Banned from Church, the article ran with the subhead, Reviving an Ancient Practice, Churches Are Exposing Sinners and Shunning Those Who Won't Repent. It's a disturbing article for various reasons. First, it gives the statistic by scholarly estimates that about 10 to 15% of Protestant evangelical churches practice church discipline. That means that in 85 to 90% of these churches, there's no such thing as church discipline. Given that the journal article mentions things such as adultery, drunkenness, and theft as some of the sins that the minority of churches are disciplining, we're left with the somber fact that in almost all America's Protestant evangelical churches, grievous moral sins will go unaddressed and unpunished. That's serious. When you add that in mainline denominations, church discipline is almost non-existent, you can see that churches have made themselves very comfortable with sin in the camp. Is it any wonder there's so little blessing from God in their services? There's a second reason why I find the article disturbing. It gives various reasons that churches have for excommunicating people, and in many cases, those reasons, as reported, appear either frivolous or at least whimsical, without solid biblical foundation. Third, in most churches, especially in independent churches, there appears to be little or no established order for church government and for the process of charging and trying a member's sin. This has led to all sorts of public actions that are both unnecessary and often counterproductive. Fourth, I gather from the journal article that in a great number of cases, members look at their sins, even those involving a loss of public testimony, not as so many attacks on the honour of the Lord or the testimony of His church, but as purely personal affairs. Hence, if they confess their sins when confronted by their pastor, they treat that as a personal, confidential conversation and are ready to sue him if he brings it before the legitimate church authorities. The journal article seems to draw no distinction between very different causes for church discipline. It treats people accused of adultery and those accused of speaking ill of their pastor as if they were morally equivalent. Unfortunately, even pastors often seem not to be able to draw necessary distinctions in the severity of censurable conduct by their members. Many of them act solely on their own initiative. That's one reason why I'm glad to be a minister of a Presbyterian church, where I must act in accordance with clearly recognized principles for ensuring due process, and where I must act in concert with the elected elders of the congregation. When a member's disciplined, it is with a view to restoration. Here, if a member feels aggrieved by a decision against him, he has the right of appeal, and may indeed ask the presbytery, that's the combination of ministers and elders from a number of congregations, to reverse the decision against him. When all is said and done, the process of discipline is never easy, but it can be richly blessed by the Lord. Churches need to have properly established church courts, elder boards, and appeals processes. Members need to respect them and abide by their decisions. And altogether, ministers, elders, and members, they need to make the process one that will seek to restore the erring ones and reflect positively on the public testimony of the church.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're pleased to announce that the newest edition of Let the Bible Speak quarterly magazine is now available. The principal focus of this issue is the Gospel of Matthew. Five articles dealing with various aspects of this book will give you a deeper understanding of the Lord's Word through Matthew, the converted tax collector. Other articles in this issue deal with the nation of Ghana, as well as with one of the most important aspects of the Christian life, the subject of prayer. You may have a free copy of the magazine simply by asking for it. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the program, you may like to visit our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget the word radio, ltbsradio.com. We hope to hear from you, and we invite you to join us on our website this week.
Thank you. return to the Gospel of Luke this morning as we continue in the series of studies in the life of Christ, biographical studies in the life of Christ. That may seem what's called tautology, but most of the lives of Christ that have been written actually deal with the events in themselves. Preachers preaching through the life of Christ preach in every event as something in and of itself. And Christ himself may be an actor in that event, but is not the central theme. We're trying to focus on the person of Christ himself. And we're looking at Luke chapter 13, and then we're going to read in Luke chapter 19. Not that they are identical as to the event, but they are identical as to what they teach concerning Christ. Luke chapter 13, verses 34 and 35, taking up the reading again in chapter 19 at verse 41. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, which killest the prophets, and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, as a hen doth gather her brood under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Verily I say unto you, ye shall not see me, until the time come when ye shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Chapter 19 and verse 41. And when he was come near, he beheld the city and wept over it, saying, If thou hadst known, even thou, at least in this thy day, the things which belong unto thy peace, but now they are hid from thine eyes. For the days shall come upon thee, that thine enemy shall cast a trench about thee, and compass thee round, and keep thee in on every side, and shall lay thee even with the ground, and thy children within thee. And they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Amen. The Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. Today we're returning to the theme that I started in our last study. You remember I grouped together most of chapter 13, 14, and 15 in the Gospel of Luke, a period in the life of Christ that has him approaching Jerusalem in his last great journey, a period that therefore is really within the shadow of Calvary. The events of this period, you could say in some ways, are no more important than at any other period in the life of Christ, because Jesus never said or did anything inconsequential. And yet, in another way, they are superlatively important, because as Grattan Guinness, the great Anglo-Irish preacher of the 59 revival theme, said of the words of Christ, all his words were solemn and deep-toned. But as he came to the cross, they became even more solemn and even more deep-toned. That is true of everything in the life of the Lord Jesus as he approaches the cross. It is therefore all the more significant that with all that was happening around him, weighing upon his heart and upon his mind, with all the dread responsibility that was falling upon his shoulders, these chapters should set him forth supremely as the friend of sinners. Last time we looked at this passage, or these chapters, I pointed out the friend of sinners warning them. Faithful are the wounds of a friend. And we looked at many of the warnings, solemn, serious, searching warnings that the Lord Jesus Christ set forth in the shadow of Calvary. Now we turn to the verses, especially at the end of chapter 13 in Luke, but we do reference the verses in chapter 19. Having looked at the warning, Christ, the friend of sinners, we want to look briefly at the weeping Christ, friend of sinners, not only warning them, but weeping over them. We have read of how he lamented over Jerusalem. Later, how he wept over Jerusalem. Remember, this was the place to which he was going to suffer, to bleed, and to die. The people over whom he was weeping were the very people who would connive at his killing. The city that he so lamented over was the city called the city of the great king, called the holy city. And yet, it had become what John the Apostle later described it as, a veritable Sodom in which our Lord was crucified. Yet over this spiritual Sodom, how indeed are the mighty fallen? The shield of the mighty vilely cast aside. Over this veritable Sodom, we have this picture, one of the most moving in all of Scripture. The mighty Son of God, manifested in human flesh, with heaving breast and flowing tears, lamenting over a lost people. I want us to think very simply of the weeping Christ, because those tears are a proof fundamentally of two things. On the first, I will be, I hope, fairly brief, because it's a subject that has come up again and again as we have studied the life of Christ. Those tears are a proof of the true humanity of the Lord Jesus. Here we see him as the man, Christ Jesus, the one who's touched with the feeling of our infirmities, the one who was acquainted with grief, the one who is preeminently the man of sorrows. I want you to stop and think of that. The man of sorrows. I believe that humor is one of God's great gifts to human nature. I don't want to get into the psychology of that this morning, or even the theology of it. But I do believe it's one of the great gifts of God to human nature, as long as it's kept in its proper place. I don't want to get off on a tangent, but I do get sick and I get sorry. I even get mad when I hear even preachers start to jest about God, about hell, and about things that are so holy and so serious that only an utter fool would joke about them. I believe that joy, happiness, smiles and laughter are again signal gifts of God in their proper place. And yet, I am struck with this when I read the life of the God-man, the greatest man, the ideal man, the perfect man. Never once do I read of a smile creasing his face. Never once do I hear the tinkle of laughter from his lips. Never once do I read even that he rejoiced except on one occasion. And even then, it is added, he rejoiced in spirit. Why? I cannot help but think that here, from birth to death, from cradle to cross, from the womb to the tomb, the Son of God bore in his own human flesh the burden, the weight, the responsibility of human sin. And he was preeminently the man of sorrows.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at faithfpc@freepres.org. That's faithfpc@freepres.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.freepres.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free, 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us once again as we let the Bible speak.